Everyone got the sources? Nobody got the sources. Okay, here we go. So we're gonna try, as we always do, to cover different points within the parasha to expose you to different mefarshim, for both teach you a little bit both methodology and also hopefully some good powerful parasha messages. Parshas Noach. We're actually starting from the beginning of Noach. When I say the beginning of Noach, it's actually not from Parshas Noach, but literally right the end of Sefer Bereishis, just to help us give a little more context of when of what Noach comes to. The beginning of Perek Vav, right after Noach was 500 years old, when he had the three children. There are psukim here that are very difficult to understand. Very difficult, because a lot of people don't pay attention to them already, because Bereishit is a long parsha anyway. But it's, I want to give you a piece by Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch that's in the first source in front of you, which is an amazing analysis of the psukim. It gives us a hashkafic point, actually, about marriage, which we'll see. It's not usually what's actually stressed in the religious Zionist circles, Zatilumi. And at the same time, I think it's also, just ignore, the other thing which is fascinating is that he's definitely, I believe, talking like he does a lot of times in his shot, in his commentary here, talking to the community in Germany at his time. So those are my four introductions. First of all, normally that's a lot of times that when Rav Hirsch is talking, just like the Netziv is talking, he's commenting, just like Torah is not something that's just limited to when it was given in Har Sinai. It's relevant, has hashkafic messages for today, yesterday, and tomorrow. So too will be here. So those are my four introductory pieces. Vayhi ki hechel ha'adam l'arov al pnei adama u'banot yildu lahem. Pasuk Aleph, right? Parak Vav, Pasuk Aleph. What happened? It wasn't just Adam anymore, but what happened wasn't Cain and Hevel anymore. It wasn't Sheit. We have a lot of people, and when you have a lot of people, you also have daughters. So there's a lot of girls around. What happens? Vayiru v'nei ha'elohim et benot ha'adam. Ki tovot heina. Labriyut. Now, this sounds to be rated not PG 13. But the problem is who's this B'nai Elohim? Vayiru. It's very different than the Vayar Elohim Kitov, you know, at the beginning of the parsha. Meaning, not maybe, again, there is a Kitov, but there's a different level of Kitov here. Right? There's God saying that the world is good Kitov and giving his kashrut of the Beis Din of Manchester. And here there is a Kitov that is probably not so good. Vayiru B'nei Elohim. The Mefarshim want to figure out who are these B'nei Elohim. Is it even there are some Mefarshim that say it's like angels. Like the angels came down. Other people say it's B'nei Elohim, the religious. That's a little bit. Other people say B'nei of the Shoftim. But Vayiru B'nei Elohim et B'not Ha'adam. And here Rav Hirsch in his commentary is talking about the tremendous downfall of humanity. That B'nai Elohim, it's in your first source in front of you, were hit arvu in mishpachot B'nai Adam. There's a certain, what we would call in English, assimilation. A certain level of real lack of elevated family and building of a couple. And he says, what is going on over here now? We had just finished saying that Hevel is coming and is replaced by Sheit, and you have this unbelievable what Sheit is supposed to be, the Zion, the Hemsheikh of Hevel. So we're talking about wow. But at the same time, what do we have? We have a Hemsheikh of Cain. We have what Cain represents. Cain, what does Cain represent? What do you think Cain represents? You know, Shimshon Rafal Hirsch's thing within his name is physicality, is building cities only about the here, the now. Okay? That's the second line. B'nei Kayim b'kshu livnot et chayihem al yisod hamtzah v'tasiyah. Shifazu, this aspiration was mutzdeket kishiratzma. But what's the problem? B'nei Kayim was nifridu me'et Hashem. Right? They're oveda adama as opposed to being oveda Hashem. Uvisofam was what? Yi'ush of the derech, what we would call in English, of the derech. As opposed to what? Mishpacha b'nei Sheit, as we had said, is talking about the demut and the tselem and the bracha and adam, everything that we want. Sechor nekeva baram, not like Lemech, who took two wives and had a despicable way of, let me use my wife this way, and a different way of what Shasani Kirtzano is supposed to really mean as opposed to what he was saying it. So you have this contrast between Mishpachat B'nei Shem, which is supposed to be good, that's the quote-unquote Mishpachot of B'nei Elohim, but then you have B'not Adam. B'not Adam here, according to Rav Shimshon HaFol HaHershesu, the B'not of Kain. And what happens? So what would you think? So what's going to happen? So he says, what happens? Vayichu lahem nashim mikol asher bacharu. What happens? So the Mefarshim bring up that there is a certain licentious, salacious, lascivious behavior in English, certain immoral behavior, that even the Mefarshim talk about bestiality. Right? This is all the introduction towards what Noach was getting into. Even Eshesish, Gulat Baal. And Rav Hirsch explains, if you look at the middle of source number one, that this contrast was, as opposed to Mishpacha B'nei Sheit, around six lines in, where you're supposed to have the Tzalam Elohim, and that's the B'not Elohim, that's the values of what was supposed to do, it couldn't match up. Lo aya dai bahem kidei latzil et ha'adam mikhliya. Aliyatam aruchanit of B'nei Sheit was not a full insurance policy. Ki yiridiyatam ha'tzula shel B'nei Kayim. They couldn't, the B'nei Sheit was tremendous, but the character and the lack of theological and moral values that B'nei Kayin had was no match. And therefore, they were not able to be shomer the Tara. They were mixing together. And that's what the Pesukim said. They come together and mikol asher bacharu. If you look at the last couple lines of that first paragraph, I mean, there are three paragraphs in source number one. He says that at the beginning, vayi ki echel adam laruva pnei adamah, at the beginning there was another big choice. There weren't a lot of women. But now, ki echel adam laruv, yachlu b'nei ha'sheit lishmor al taratam. So they got a shot. Ulam, what happened? Vayiru b'nei elohim et b'not adam. Ki tovot eina. Which means what? Physically beautiful. And here's his big chiddush here. Heim lo natnu inyan b'mishpacha. You know how many people fall trapped to this in our world nowadays also? Now, it goes both ways. And I gave you the introduction that usually in our worlds we don't talk about this as much. In the Haredi world, they talk about yichus, 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 maybe to an extreme also, of mishpacha. But so many times, unfortunately, a lot of people, they're good in midos, they're really good, and then they get caught up by a beautiful girl. That's what he says, what's happening here. They get caught up by a beautiful girl, and what don't they pay attention to? The family. Like the family that he's going to be marrying into is rotten. That's what Rav Shimshon HaFol Hirsch is saying is happening here. And as a result of not looking at the mishpacha, all you're looking at is the beauty. Nashim matzuchin be'inihem, as opposed to Noach matzuchin. They didn't think about the future of their children. That these are going to be the mothers and grandmothers of educating them. Right? They themselves might have been good, but look at where they're coming from. Mikol asher bacharu. He says this mem is for the chet. The chet was in the mishpacha. It's what's called the mem hamakor. It's where they were coming from, where they innovating from, emanating from. As a result of that, it's not like what Rashi had said, just stam taking a bulas baal of znut, but because vayichu is marriage in mikra, biblical language. The chait is miko asher bacharu. They didn't look at where the woman came from. They were just focusing on the outer beauty. They didn't see the values. In that case, we're talking about what? B'nai Kayim. And you can understand, as I had said, most probably Rav Hirsch is talking about the assimilation that's going on in what we would call modern Orthodox Germany at that point of Yafet Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz, of fighting the good fight of really having that strong identity. As a result of that, the next pasuk says Rav Hirsch, "Vayomer Adonai lo yadun ruchi ba'adam le'olam v'shagamu basar." Which is going to lead to the end of the parasha, which we're going to get into right now, of Noach, of obviously Hashem saying this is pretty horrible. But what is this lo yadon ruchi? He says yadon here is not talking about a fight, but it's talking about a judge from the word dan. And the idea is it's lo yadon ruchi ba'adam. Ruchi ba'adam is the spiritual side. Who's in charge here? Who's going to be in charge? Unfortunately, it's going to be the physical side, the shagam. It's the basar. Okay? That's what is going to be after the physicality as against the Ruach Hashem. That the basar and the will not be submitted to the Ruach Ba'adam. But unfortunately, because of the, you didn't check out that the family's got good values. Values that you have. And it's a very, very powerful Rav Shimshon Fall Hirsch. As I had said, and we're going to stop now, we're going to get into proper Parshas Noach, but this framework is unbelievable. Because as I said, most of us in the modern Orthodox religious Zionist world says, don't look at the family. You're marrying the girl. And that's true. You're marrying a girl. You're also marrying a family. And a lot of good modern Orthodox religious Zionist people do look at the family to understand, not only because of finances, but to understand, right? Is it PhD? Have you heard that one before? Does the father have a PhD? Papa has dough, right? That's usually the way they talk about, lo aleinu, right? The idea is that they have good values, really good values. Because if not, oy vavoy. Again, obviously, I'm not talking about it just to be clear. I'm not saying that the family is the only thing. And there are many people that the family and girls are, take it with a nuance, to understand what we're saying. Ad kama kafal.
See that from B'nai Kayim?
Correct. From this whole discussion. Correct. He says this is before understanding that Rav Hirsch's whole explanation of Kayim was a certain philosophy of just building Kayim in the physical Oved Adama, and that continues within his generations of building and Lemech and all those things also. Ad kama kafal. Good? Next message. Next message, we start off Noach. Noach, right? Pasuk Aleph. When I say Pasuk Aleph, I mean Pasuk Teh. Right? In Noach. This is what we call famous. If you haven't been in my Talmud yet, it's famous because I know it. Now you'll know. Okay? So, Ela tovo Noach, Noach ish tzadik, tamim haya b'dorotav, etalahim italech Noach. Famous part is Rashi quotes the Midrash that it says dorotav Dorotav?
Generations,
but that's Dorot. It's his generations, right? And the question is, why does it say that? What is it referring to? So that's where Rashi quotes the Midrash and says, Yesh me rabotenu, sher dorshim oto l'shvach. Right? Some are saying, the question is already, you're going to see, who is Noah compared to? You should know, Chazal, when we talk about characters. Who are the two major people that Noach are going to be compared to? We're not going to do this today as much, but just to throw it out there.
Avraham and Moshe.
Okay, we're going to see right now Rashi's going to compare him to Avraham. It's going to be an important comparison to think about. What's the good points in Noach and Avraham and their evolution there? So here, for example, it's a Ramban in next week's parasha. Is we have this introduction. There's a lot. So I'm trying to stay focused here. Noach is an Ish Sadiq. You think Avram is a big dude also, right? Do we have Avram being called as an Ish Sadiq? No. We know nothing about Avram that way. Okay, we do know that Avram is a big Baal Tshuva according to the Midrashim from Terach. But the actual text itself tells us nothing about Avram as a individual, and even if we're talking, he didn't start off as a tzaddik. Right? That's the question of the Ramban, and the Maharal says in Netzach Yisrael Perak Yirah, that the Rashi, I'm sure, loves to quote many times, And but it's an important piece to know about. Chazal here quote compare Noach to Avram, which we'll talk about in 1 second. The other comparison is Noach and Moshe. And why do you think that that's true? Ever heard of Tevat Noach before? The Teva? Ever heard of Tevat Moshe before? No? In Hebrew, you ever have it in what do they call it? What do they call it in England? In America, they call it in the little hot dogs in the blankets. Blanket hot dogs, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What do they call it? You know what I'm saying? The little hot dogs and it's covered. Something in the piggy blankets or something.
Pigs in blanket.
Pigs in blanket. What do they call it in England? Don't say pigs in blanket. There's definitely a name for it in England. What's it called?
York Shapiro.
They called winners.
It's a little hot dog and then you it's covered up. Sausage, and then it's covered with a certain
pastry.
Dough. A certain pastry. So what do you call it?
A sausage roll.
Sausage roll. That's too simple. So that sausage roll in the Ivrit, in modern-day Hebrew, don't ever say you don't get a pun here in this yeshiva. It's called Moshe Bateva. Yeah, but it's true. Okay? So that's a comparison sometimes between Tevas Noach and Moshe Bateva. But there's also a very important Meshachachma, which I didn't give today, to compare, Chazal compare, between Noach and Moshe also. Just so you should know what Chazal, and hopefully as you come through this Shir and others, you'll see these biblical characters, hopefully as role models also, as you'll see, but understanding their character, understanding who they are. Okay. So within that introduction, we're in source number 2, Rashi quotes the Midrash. Gish me rabotenu dorshim oto v'shvach. Some say, well, Noach is great. And even though it says in his generations, what is that? Is that coming to include or exclude? That's the question. Some say it's coming to include, to say how amazing Noach is. If in this generation he was amazing, Kol Shekin, if he had been in the door of Tzadikim, a fortiori, even more so, Kol V'chomer, he would have been a greater Tzadik. But some say, no. It's only in his generation compared to everybody else. But if you had been a door of Avram, he would be no. The question is, what's going on? Why? What's the comparison here? So I gave you two interpretations here. Meaning, what is Chazal like looking? What's the dig here? I mean, at first glance, what do you think? At first glance, again, it might be foreshadowing because we know later on, as we'll talk about, he falters. So there might be a certain foreshadowing because if he was really such a great tzaddik, there's no way. So it must be the Torah is already hinting that there are some skeletons in his closet. Right? That's what Rav Kook talks about by Kayim. One of the major questions in last week's parsha is Kayim is the initiator of the Korban. So, why did God reject him so fast? What happened? He's the initiator. So everyone's got different things. I'm in the middle of writing an article about it. I gave a share on it last week. But Rav Kook says, you see, the end really, not justifying the means, the opposite. The end is really transmitting really what was going on inside already. That he was such a murderer already. When he brought the korban, there must have been something possible. Literally, psovot. Right? So to over here, maybe. But that's already what's going on within Chazal here. Look, right after some of the major questions that during Shabbat, we'll talk about it also. The major question that, you know what is the deluge? Or Noah, the Mabul? Who's it named after? The Zohar points out, and it's from in the Haftorah, which is what? It's called May
Noah.
Called Me Noach. It's a pretty heavy. We're going to see why over Shabbat. The Zohar that says that Noach didn't daven for everybody. Ay. Noach the Tzaddik didn't daven for everybody. That's what we're going to talk about over Shabbos at some point. Okay? How could it be didn't daven for everybody? So it's crazy. But at first glance, though, again, at first glance, it should be he's Tzaddik Bedoros of the Tzaddik. So I'm going to give you two different interpretations here. One is those Naima Torah, Rav Zalman Sarotskin. It's an amazing set that I finally just picked up this past year. I say picked up. I got it. When I had it. A lot of guys over for Shabbos, so people know I don't get a banana cake, but we get a safer. So his interpretation is that, as opposed to Chazal, it says Sadiq Bidorotav is two separate things. That you have a Sadiq Tamim Bidorotav, Sadiq in his actions, and Tamid in his drachav. Comes those nine Torah. I didn't give you the sources here. I can, Torah can take a picture afterwards and give it to you. He says that Tzadik Tamim, that the Tamim is actually an adjective of the Tzadik, which means that there are two types of Avodas Hashem. It's very similar to a Meshech Chachma that compares Noach and Moshe, but here he's actually, again, comparing Noach and Avram. And he says that, that there's a Tzadik Tamim is what? A person who closes himself off, okay? Just in the Dala Amot of Torah and Tefillah. And already, once I'm saying that right now, look for 1 second to source number four. It's an important piece now. Okay, source number four later on. Vabayim, getting ready as it moves ahead. What happens? Vabayim zacharu nekeva mikol basar ba'u kasher tziva oto Elokim. What happens? Vayizgor Adonai ba'ado. Why does Hashem close up shop? This is, says the Ibn Ezra, l'shabeach. That what? There are certain times you need to focus and close yourself up on a certain level. You understand the concept? That it's not only what? Going out. This is what the Oznayim Torah is describing, the type of Avodas Hashem that he was having. It's called the Tzadik Tamim. Okay, the Tmimu, the Dalet Amot of Torah and Tefillah. He's not going down to the Kotel of SOJ and describing, let's go to Kiruv and talk to them about God and talk to them about Nikki Haley and talk to them about why Brexit is another reason why you should be making Aliyah and that the economy, they're not talking about that. Or Corbyn, you name it. They're not talking about any of those things. What are you talking about? You're talking about the Halachos of tefillah, that you can't talk during tefillah, and we care about my davening and my learning, and I got to care about Maseches Gittin, and you don't know anything of what's going on in the UN. That's one type of tzaddik, tzaddik tamim, and explains the Oznayim LaTorah. He's afraid to get into those discussions because he's afraid that he's going to lose out in his Yetzahar, and he's going to lose those ma'asim. The Sveikos, they're going to get confused. That's one type. And then you have another type of Avodas Hashem. And that's the one fighting with the Yetzer. And these type of tzaddikim go out and talk with the Rishayim and are not worried about the bilbul. They are Kovashit Yitzro. Okay? And that's not the tzaddik tamim, that's the tzaddik. And this is the concept of Bidorotav. That possibly, again, one could say that the Shevach there is Sheilu Ayab Dor Tzadik Mayat Tzadik Yoter, is because what's possible here is that what? Tzadik Tamim, you have to close yourself up. And that's one type of avoda that you have over here. And that's one idea. If you look at the sheet I gave you, or not sheet I gave you, the source I gave you, in the WhatsApp, it's on the Lior WhatsApp group. The, you sent me that phone. I'm looking over here. Rav Schwab, I'm probably taking off by now. Rav Schwab has an amazing shot. Rav Schwab explains. And he's saying, if you look at it, it's Perek Vav Pasuk Tet. Who was Rav Schwab? Shimon Schwab was a Rav in Germany. And he also was in Washington Heights. It's a very important Breuer's community in Washington Heights. Washington Heights, if you don't know, is in New York. So, asks Rav Schwab, we are at the second paragraph of that page. Uve'emet kana ben shoel. Eich yitachein that a tzaddik tamim lives for 600 years to the marble and he's not mashpi on everybody else. 120 years, as we had said already, didn't daven for anybody else. What could be? Explains Rav Schwab, what do we see from here? Roim anu mizeh shagam haya noach tzadik tamim. This is obviously different than those nine Torah. This is different than those nine Torah, but it could be incorporated. Even though he was a noach tzadik tamim, mikom akom lo haya oseg bavudat kiru rechokim lefarseim lechol bnei adam sheish manik l'bira. He wasn't being like Avram Avinu. He would have saved a lot of people. This is what Rashi means. The feed doro hayat sadiq, meaning this is an unbelievable pshat. He was like everybody else in the generation. How is he like everyone else in the generation? He didn't care about the other people. Lo ayu nizkakim klal tzorchei azulat. He didn't really care about them. Kmo chen, Noach was just caring about his needs, his own avoda. The only difference between them was, why is he called a tzaddik? Everyone else was full of znut, and they ran after dvarim gashmim. He was what? Was in spiritual matters, but he was what? Spiritually selfish. And that's the model of what? That's the model of why it's bidoro. That's what the rabbis are saying. Only the fi doroya tzaddik. And that's why it would mean that if you'd be in the door of Avram, then what? The avoda there is to be the ambassador, lekro b'shem Hashem, fayita isha b'ver sheva, to tell everybody, get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be an ambassador, et ha-nefesh asher asu v'charan, which we'll see in Parshat Lech Lecha, then Noach would have been nothing, because that was not part of what? Of his avoda at all. So on one level, you see that on a certain level, as we saw from the Ibn Ezra, there are times that you do need to close within yourself. At the same time, Rav Schwab is saying that the pshat over here is that he actually was influenced by the culture, but the reason why he was a tzaddik was only because he didn't go after those bad things, but he was influenced that way to stick with his own dalat amot. If we move on, the source number 5. Oh, I skipped one. I skipped one. What did I have over there? Perek Zayin Pasuk Dalid. This was an important psychological point. Torah says that. And Chazal want to know, why did God say after, let's say, 120 years, is that right? That he was building the Teva? 120 years, right?
Shouldn't it be 100?
No, what I'm saying, it was like that was a lifetime, to be able to give to do tshuva. After that, Kili Yamimo Tshuva, he gave another 7 days. He said to them, in another 7 days, I'm bringing down this rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and I'm going to wipe everyone off this planet. So as everyone asks, what are these 7 days? So there's a whole different... What are these 7 days about? Some say that Metushelach died, and they needed to eulogize him, and therefore they held up for 7 days. Other people... There's a lot of different interpretations of what went on for those 7 days. And as a result of that, they needed to postpone it. Comes those nine Latorah that even Davka, that Metushelach dying there, is not just stam, but it was another opportunity to do tshuva. 7 days. Now you might ask, they already get tshuva.
7 days if you die, tshuva?
Right, so you have tshuva, exactly. They were sitting tshuva, and it was not appropriate at that point. So the question is, because we know Misa Sadikim, the death of the righteous, you know, it's supposed to help out, and the Hesped is supposed to cause you to have feelings of tshuva, right? Pasuk in Kohelet that we read over Sukkot. Tov is going to a Beit Avel. Sounds, again, pretty sad, but, right? Tov, for a person's neshama, is to go to a Beit Avel, then to a Beit Mishteh. Why is it Tov? Because when you go to the Beit Avel, you're going to realize that life is temporary and man is finite, and maybe you'll think about doing tshuva. Versus a lot of times in Beit Mishteh, you'll sometimes lose, do the opposite, right? You'll just lose yourself in the total opposite. Soto over here explains the Oznayim LaTorah. Explains the Oznayim LaTorah. What is this tshuva? I don't understand. I just gave 120 years. Right? Why do I need another 7 days? Good question, huh? You want to say, okay, God is really righteous. Give another 7 days. Why? Why do I need another 7 days? Good question, right? Answers of Sir Rutskin, amazing. He says, Milvad zeh. This small time after a big time is dealing with the psyche and psychology of man. Because what happens? What have they seen now? People have gotten used to seeing the old man building a teva for 120 years. You can imagine all the films like that, right? You have this guy wearing some sort of get-up, right? Saying, okay, another year, another 2 years. This deluge is happening. You're like, okay, leave me alone. You've been building this teva for the last 50 years that I know, 70 years I know. My grandpa told me you're a crazy person building this contraption. So people get used to it and desensitize and tune it out. So then what does Hashem say? Hashem says, I'm going to give you another 7 days. And here I'm going to give you a what? A small, finite, small amount of time. And therefore, what does he say? Aval pitom. Noach says, guys, that's it. I finished building. Everyone's going in. We're starting to go in. You got 7 days. That's it. Hashem is very rachamim. This is it. This is what we call in Hebrew, dakatishim, which is from football, which is what? The last minute of the game. This is it. This is crunch time. So then that's like a certain level, like, whoa, this is like, you know, you're sending out all the different pirsamot, all the different ads to say, that's it. There's no more big time. This is the siman katan, right? The last screen to be able to say, that's it. The door is closing. You better get in now or you're done. So that's the psychological piece. Why davka liyamimo shiva? Again, to show that Hashem, like the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says. What does the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos say? There's a lot of Mishnahs in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi. One of the Mishnahs in Pirkei Avos says that how many generations are there from Adam to Noach? 10, right? Am I right? And then the first part says that God created the world in 10 mamarot, asara mamarot. And why do we need asara mamarot? In order for us to get reward for those generations. Right? Just like God didn't have to create the world in 7 days, could have done in one day. So over here, it continues going on about the generations and tells us how much erech apayim, how slow to anger God is. And here's another expression of this, of God just giving more and more to try to remove all the layers that are blinding you from what the real truth is. So they give us 7 more days onwards. So then what happens? This is really amazing. So you come, he brings korbanot, which is again, look at Perek Tet. Okay, this is the last one for today. What happens? Noach comes. Vayachal Noach, ish ha'adama vayitakarim. What happens? Noach begins. He's now known as an ish ha'adama vayitakarim. I mentioned before, some want to say that this is his downfall. The question is, what's Noach thinking? That what happens? He plants a vineyard now. He gets drunk. Oh yeah, yay, what happens? I have a whole article about this, about the whole relationship of Canaan and everything. Right? And then, right, Shem and Yefet come and take the Simla, and they cover him up. And they cover up the horrible sexual act that happened. Oy. Right? So what happens? How do we get to this? We started off Noach being an Ish Tzadik. What was Noach thinking? Vayitakarim. Before we get to that, again, Vayachal. It's very appropriate now. We're in the first day of Chorev Zman. Vayachal is the beginning. You see, beginnings are very appropriate. That's what the Sforno says, the last source in front of you. The Sforno says that he started off in an inappropriate act. And as a result of that, things fell and there was a, what's the word? Going, spiraling out of control. Right? That's what the Sforno says here, the 14th century doctor. from Italy, Rav Avadja Svorno. Ki anam me'at min ha'kilkul ba'atchala. A little bit of that piece could, why? Yisabiv harbei mimeno b'sof. Right? Bad news. Just like we see later on in Sefer Bamidbar, by Parsha Balak and Pinchas, by Yachel Ha'am Liznot. They just, what Bilam told Balak, just get them to start a little bit with Znut and oy vavoy. The question is why? What is going on? What's the philosophy here? What happened? So many of us, that could be for us nowadays, which is I'm doing really, really, really well spiritually. But we know, we have a lot of friends. You take one look at a wrong site, oy vavoy. 5 hours later, where are my eyes? Many of us know a lot of people. That's a big melchama. Marriages that are back to the first source that are totally broken because people are addicted to their phones, addicted to pornography, addicted to bad news. That's just one shot of bayacha, which means that it could very well be, not as I presented it, that he wasn't a tzaddik, but that one piece, you lose it. That's one shot. So be careful. That there has to be, again, I'm not presenting it in a way that there isn't stability. That it's not, okay, I did great things for 10 days and then I messed up once. And Rabbi Kalev just said, once I messed up once, that's it. It must be that all the 10 days I did great were all a bunch of fake. I'm not saying that. Don't misquote me. Okay? We always, obviously, people have better times and less strong times. The same that there's a certain gishada to understand that you have to be careful that the bayacha, especially the haschal also, that it could really spiral out of control. However, 2 points. Possibly, Noach being an isha daman may not necessarily be a bad thing at first glance. Rav Hanan Porat points out that what do we know so far? Right now we're in Perek Zion. What do we know about isha adama? You know that Adam Rishon was created afar min Adama. Right after that, what do we know? Cain was a Oved Adama. He brought a korban. God said no. As a result of that, he killed Hevel. And his curse was the ground is cursed. Right? There's an extra cursing already from what happened at the time of Adam and Chava. Right? When the ground didn't listen, whatever that means, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the ground is cursed. We also know that according to certain people, what was an Eitz Hadaat, what was the fruit or vegetable, if you will, or grain, some people say it was the Chita. Some people say it was Gefen. Which means, it's very, Vayachel doesn't necessarily have to mean a bad beginning here. But what does Noach think he's going to be doing over here? Zeyinachamenu mimaseh yadenu mitzvon yadenu. The ground was cursed. There's a new world that's coming now. Noach is now Olam Chesed Yibana, is a brand new world. And what does he want to do now? Recreate Gan Eden. Isn't that beautiful? He wants to redeem and make La'avda u'lishamra and say, this is going to be great. We're going to not get drunk from this, but what are we going to do? We're going to make Kiddush. We're going to have Abdallah. We're going to know how to sanctify the world. This is gevalt. The Isha Adamai is not a bad thing. It's a great thing. He's like the new Adam Arishon. That's what he thinks. Vayita Karim. The problem is that ostensibly he wasn't ready. Just like we have in Chazal by the carob tree. You're going to learn it in Shabbat Lamed Gimel. You're going to go up to Tzipori, the Mara, the cave of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his son. If you haven't learned the story, you will. That they were there for how long? They were there for, you want to say 70 years. You're mixing up stories. It's all good.
13.
What?
13.
13. And then what happens? They come out. Right? 12 years they come out. And what happens? He sees everything and people are dealing with this world. Think about the imagery of the story. Same idea. People are being Oved Adama, dealing with the temporal world. And his son, basically with his eyes, burns everybody up. And what does Rav Shimon Bar Yochai say? Go back. Or Hashem says, go back. Right? Meaning, you weren't ready yet. Your eyes weren't fully developed yet. So Tovir, Noach ostensibly wasn't ready to come out yet. He wasn't fully ready to engage the world yet. And as a result of that, to deal with the challenges, again, it comes back to what we had said before about knowing how to be a tzaddik tamim, and also not a tzaddik tamim, but a tzaddik, to be able, as Kohelet says, Ein Adam tzaddik ba'aretz, asher yaseh tov lo yechta. There's no such thing as a tzaddik. What's a tzaddik? What does it mean, tzaddik ba'aretz? What am I, tzaddik ba'shamayim? The Torah wasn't given to angels. So I'm a tzaddik ba'aretz, but by definition, if you're a tzaddik ba'aretz, you're going to sin. Asher yaseh tov lo yechta. We're human. But even with that, there are different times of how much you're ready to go and engage. And obviously, he wasn't ready at this point. And as a result of that, there's no Kiddush and Avdala here, but there is drunkenness. So that's the, on one level, understanding the philosophy, understanding already the tension that you have, which is on one level, one of some of the ideas that came out from today, was the importance of, at times, being a tzaddik tamim, to lizgor, to know how to do that at times. For example, just your own davening. That's the time to close the phone. That's the time to talk to Hashem. That's the time to close. Some people say, again, even yeshiva itself is a time on one level to be closed, not to be checking your WhatsApp every single second, to be able to be engaged. And then there are times, which I would believe, that part of that is to take what you're learning in this sagur and make sure, in at least in your head, and I think in practice also, how to become that tzaddik and apply that to the world and share it with the world also, just within your identity. So some of the important messages, obviously there's so much, and we should have a great Shabbos or Shabbat Shalom. Yisr koach. Thank you.